Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Beans, right? Jesus Christ and Byron.
Who?
Byron.
Who?
Byron.
It's a hard hat holidays. Respectfully. What you gotta tell Joe Biden right now?
Bring me to the White House, baby.
Hey, yo, he's kissing the cop car.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. If I bring a turkey to dinner, just know that I'm men.
Hey, yo, that's how I'm gonna put up to your mom's house on Thanksgiving, you heard?
Bing bong.
Hey.
We gonna get it right.
And Coney Island, that's what we do for Thanksgiving. Chopped cheese in Arizona, you heard? What you gonna do when you see Joe Biden in the Oval Office?
I'm gonna give him a big old kiss.
Hey, yo! Hey, yo, I got stuffing for your mom.
Yeah.
I got stuffing for your sister.
Yeah.
I got stuffing for your grandmother.
Who else?
I got stuffing for everybody.
Bing bong!
Hey, y'all. Bing bong. Drone, if you in the house, let me hear you say bing bong. You've been saying bing bong a lot lately. Anyway, bing bong. Hey, y'all.
Bing bong.
There we go. Bing bong. Hey, look. We started a brand new series a few weeks ago called Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. And I wanted to share that video. I actually meant to share that video last week, and I totally forgot about it. That was like the full or the long version of it. But that video has gone viral for several months now or so. Actually, it was around Thanksgiving when they did that. And this guy was, you know, talking about, you know, Joe Biden. And then I was like, who in the world is Joe Biden? Because I kept seeing this name, you know, throughout several videos keep popping up, you know, on TikTok, on Instagram, different things like that. And so in my research, I found out that Joe Biden is actually Joe Biden. That's why you hear him reference the White House several times. Like, you know, if Joe Biden, you know, invites you to the White House or whatever, because he refers to Joe Biden as Joe Byron. So that's where that all came about. But anyway, viral video. But today, again, like I told you several weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, we started a series called Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. What are you thankful for this holiday season? Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. But look here, this whole series, our main point, we've been talking about, you know, sharing our differences. And the main point is sharing our differences is living in a true community. And Jesus, he desires that we all live in a true community. Amen. And our main scripture is John chapter 13 and verse 35. It says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. By what? If you love one another. If we love one another, then this shows us, this serves as proof, as evidence that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so one of the things that we talked about here is beans and rice. Beans and rice, you know, they are very good nutrients, food. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but they're very good foods in themselves. Beans are a good source of protein, and rice is a good source of carbohydrates. By themselves, they are very good. They're very good for our bodies, very good for our health and nutrition and what have you. But together, they are even better. By themselves, beans and rice, you know, they just go together. They work together all around the world. You see that people of all different countries, ethnicities, cultures, beans and rice is a common source of nutrients. It's a very common meal source in a lot of different countries, a lot of different cultures. You know, I share with you guys that multiple times me visiting some friends in different Latino countries. It's like they have beans and rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was like, man, y'all use a whole lot of beans and rice. Beans and rice just go together. They do. They great by themselves, but together they make what is called a complete protein. They're very strong. They're very good in producing muscle mass. They're very good in producing energy together. They're even better. You know, just like beans and rice are good by themselves. Guess what? We are all individually, we are good by ourselves. All right. God has created us all uniquely. He has created us with this intricate design. He has created us like no other creature in the entire world. When God made you, there was no duplicate. All right. There might be somebody who looked like you. They say that everybody got a twin, right? Somebody told me the other day that K&G. Somebody told me the other day that I got a twin that work over at K&G. So I might have to slide over there and see who my twin is. But here's the deal. You may have somebody that look like you, sound like you, you know, act like you on certain different levels, but there is nobody that's a perfect match just like you. Even my wife, she's an identical twin. And I swear there are times where I get them mixed up because they look alike, sound alike, act alike, a lot of things alike. But you know what? Even though they are so much alike, more than most people on this planet, they are still different. They are still uniquely designed and created. By ourselves, we are great. By ourselves, we're wonderful. By ourselves, we are beautiful. But guess what? Together, we are even better. Now, just imagine that. Just think about that. By yourself, you are amazing. But together, in a community, joined together with people, you are even better. Just like beans and rice just go together, you and I, we just go together. Amen. And so the thing about it is that Jesus, he desires that we all live together. And when we are together, you and I together, we make up this thing that's called a true community. See, when you're by yourself, you're good, but by yourself, you're not a community. You know, you become a part of a true community when you are joined together with others. And Jesus, he desires that we live in a true community. Amen. With all this separation and division that's going on in the world, there's a couple things that's hard to find. And I'm sure you guys can agree with me on this. All this separation, all this division that's going on in our world today, peace is hard to find and unity is hard to find. We need more peace. We need more unity. And the way we can find that is in our community. You know, and COVID hasn't even helped us at all with all this separation and all this division that's going on. COVID has not helped us, not one bit at all. As a matter of fact, COVID has made it even worse because we constantly have to exercise separation. And because we have to exercise separation, like right now, so many people, because of the COVID rates have just jumped and skyrocketed, you know, during this holiday season, so many people are separating. So many people are in isolation. So many people are in quarantine. And, you know, this COVID situation hasn't helped us out at all. It's causing us to separate even the more. And the more we separate, you know, it just takes away. It's constantly ripping apart of our ability to be a part of a community, you know. But here's the deal. Don't get discouraged just because, you know, COVID is jumping up and the numbers are jumping up. You know, guess what? The numbers jumped up last year during this very same time last year. You know, we went through Thanksgiving, then we jumped into Christmas last year and New Year's. The COVID numbers, they jumped up. And last year we were dealing with the Delta variant. You know, the year before that, when COVID first hit, you know, it was just COVID-19, you know, coronavirus. Then, you know, like I said, last year we had the Delta variant. This year we got the Omicron variant going on, and numbers have jumped way up, you know. And here's the deal. Don't get discouraged about it. I just encourage you, don't get discouraged about it. A lot of us, you know, even in our own church family here, we've experienced, you know, COVID hitting our households, you know. Even myself, you know, I went to Atlanta the other day, and my wife and I, because I was supposed to be working a couple of events, New Year's Eve event and a New Year's Day event in Atlanta. And as soon as I get to Atlanta, in a matter of a few hours, I get my test results back and I tested positive for COVID. So guess what? I hit the road and I came back home because there's no reason for me being there. I had to cancel my events and everything there, call the people up and let them know, hey, I can't do it. I just tested positive. So I'm going home. I can't, I'm not going to be someone who passes around and you know, infects other people, you know, especially during a New Year's Eve and a New Year's Day event. I'm not going to do that. So my wife and I, we jumped in the car and we headed back home. So I was in Atlanta less than 24 hours. And so here I am now in quarantine and separation. And so my wife and I and my daughter, we're operating in separation, you know, because of this. And so, but I hear still, we don't have to be discouraged. I encourage you, don't get discouraged. All right. Do not get discouraged at all. I know, you know, Tom put a post out on Facebook this morning. I saw you, Tom. I feel you, Tom. I'm right there with you, Tom. I just tell you all, do not get discouraged. You know, the trends of the cases going up are just what is are just that. They are a trend, which means that we've seen this before. We've experienced this before. You know, we have a we're at a place now where we've learned so much. Doctors and scientists have learned so much. People who work in the medical field have learned so much. And, you know, the good news is that we can now see where the danger times and the danger zones are at. We can now see that, OK, during this time of the year, the numbers are going to jump up. You know, then this time they're going to go down. They're going to jump up. And because of that, you know, we can see you see hot spots, you know, throughout the country and in certain communities and stuff like that. And so there's information out there to help us. And because we are learning, what happened is we are learning how to live and how to navigate during a pandemic time without having to live in extreme fear. OK, we're learning how to do what? Proceed with caution. Remember that statement I was using that in the teaching series that we did, was it early this year or maybe it was last year when the pandemic first hit, called Living in Troubled Times. And one of the statements that I was saying constantly was proceed with caution. And so what's happening is because of all the information, the times, the different things that we've experienced during this time of pandemic, separation and everything like that, we're learning how to proceed with caution. So we don't have to live in extreme fear anymore. During this pandemic, all of this separation, all this division, people are starting to come together again. We're starting to figure out, you know, how what different ways we can come together. We can still be together. We can still hang out. We can do this. We can do that. And we're slowly getting back to what I labeled a couple weeks ago. What I said is we're starting to get back to the four F's. The four F's are family, friends, fellowship, and food. All right. We're getting back to sharing in the four F's because we're learning so much more about this whole, you know, a virus and everything like that. We're learning how to live in a pandemic time. We're starting to feel like we're slowly starting to feel like a community again, because this thing has caused us to be separated for so long. And we're getting back to that place of feeling like a community again. You know, some of us, we are longing for that time where we could just feel like and act like and participate in community activities again without any concerns whatsoever of a virus attacking us or us spreading it or catching it from someone else. Which means that, guess what? Because we're slowly getting back to a community again, this means that this is the perfect time to reestablish what true community is all about. You know, we've had so much stuff going on in our world today, so much stuff going on right here in our own country that's caused us to have more separation and more division than ever before. You know, we have viruses that's causing us to, separate and to be divided. We're separating because of health reasons, you know, a caution reason, but we're divided because of all the misinformation that's out there. You know, everybody has this belief, that belief, you know, when it comes to doing this and doing that. And so we're divided, you know. When it comes to our political atmosphere, we're divided. When it comes to, you know, the church, religious things and, you know, the signs of the times and, you know, just the time that we live in, we're all separated. Everybody believe this. Everybody believe that, you know, so nobody believes the same thing anymore. Now it's just like believe what you want to believe and live how you want to live, which has caused us to have so much more division than ever before. And because we're now getting back to a place where we can come together, we're slowly come together, sharing in the four F's, slowly come together, starting to feel like a community again. This is the perfect time for us to reestablish what community is all about, because we're at a place now where it's like we're at a building place now. Y'all get what I'm saying? We're at a building place now when it comes to true community and what true community is all about. Jesus, he was all about true community. He was all about, you know, sharing in the four F's. He was all about, you know, family, friends, fellowship, and food. You know, he desires for us to live as a community, loving one another and embracing each other's differences. Because, you know, in a community is a whole lot of different types of people, right? All kinds of people. And he desires that we live in a community. He desires that we share and embrace each other's differences in that. In the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 35, which is our main scripture, it says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If what? If you love one another. When we love one another, this provides proof. It provides evidence that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. How? By this, that we love one another. The only way people will know that we are loving one another, the only way that people are going to know that we're loving one another is they have to see it and they have to experience it. If people are not seeing us loving one another, if they're not experiencing us loving one another, then there's no proof. Proof has to be visible. Proof has to be tangible. Jesus is saying that by this, he said, provide something tangible, provide something that is evidence. You know, people can see it. They can feel it. They can experience it. This is how people know that you are my disciples, that if you love one another, the only way people can see us loving one another is they have to see it. The only way they're going to know that we love one another is they have to see it. They're only going to see it if we're doing it. If we're not doing it, they're not going to see it, okay? So when it comes to us loving one another, we have to do it. We have to demonstrate it. We have to be it. We have to live it. And then that way people can see it. The best way for people to see it is if we live as a community and we embrace each other's differences. That's how people can see it. I can live in separation and isolation and division all I want to. I'm great by myself. I am unique by myself. God has made me as an amazing person. Just like you, he made you as an amazing person, very unique, very special, with so many gifts and so many talents. But guess what? You and I together are even better. And when we love and people are able to see us loving one another, when people are able to see us living in a community, then that serves as proof. It serves as evidence that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he demonstrated this multiple times. He demonstrated being in a community multiple times. He demonstrated sharing in the four F's multiple times, especially throughout the New Testament. So we're going to look at another time. We looked at last week and the week before in the series, we looked at the situation where the lady was, you know, washing Jesus' feet with her hair and put some oil, expensive oil on his feet. And that time he was in the home of a Pharisee. And he was sharing in the four F's with them. He was sharing with family, friends, food, and a fellowship. And during that time of sharing in the four F's, this lady comes and she washes his feet, you know, with her hair. And then she takes some expensive oil and perfume and pour on his feet. The guy who invited Jesus to his house, he was like, if this man knew who this woman was, this sinful woman, that's what he would not let. If he was a prophet, he would not let this sinful woman touch his feet, you know. And then he just thought this thing. Jesus knew what he was thinking. So Jesus addressed him on it. And come to find out that this man had labeled this woman as a sinner. All right. Throughout this story, Jesus began to show him how he was a sinner also. Dude, you a sinner too, just like this woman here is a sinner. All right. But which one? He shared a parable. He said, which one? If two people owed somebody some money, if two people were in debt to the same person, and the guy who forgave the debt, one person owed, you know, more than the other person. One person owed, you know, a certain amount. The other person owed a lot more. The debtor realized that neither one of them are able to pay back the debt. So he forgave both of them of their debt. Jesus said to him, he said his name was Simon. He said, which one would have greater love for the debtor for forgiving their debt? And he said, I suppose the one who had the greater debt. And in that, he was referring to this woman. This woman here has a greater debt than maybe your debt. But guess what? You got a debt too, bro. You're a sinner too, just like she's a sinner. So don't look at her sins and try to discount her. All right. Because your sins may not be as big as hers or may not be as much as hers. Don't do that. He said, because what happens is we label people. And when we label people, we categorize them based on the sins in their lives. Jesus said, don't do that, bro. Don't do that. You're wrong for doing that. Let this woman do what she's doing. She is more thankful for me forgiving her of her sins than you are. Okay, move on. We're in another situation today where Jesus is in somebody's house and he's sharing in the four F's, just like he was in Simon's house, sharing in the four F's. He's in somebody's house sharing in the four F's. So I'm going to start reading Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. It reads as follows. Once again, here Jesus is and sharing in the four F's. Okay. Once again, Jesus went out by the lake and a large crowd followed him and he began teaching them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. He says to him, "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and he followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him, I want you all to know, teachers of the law, meaning the law of Moses, okay? Teachers of the law of Moses are preachers and priests and deacons and bishops and ushers, you know, people who teach, Sunday school teachers. Okay, so the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors. They asked his disciples, they didn't ask Jesus, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." He said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The subtitle of today's lesson, if you're taking notes. So the title of this series is called Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. All right. Beans and rice just go. They're good by themselves, but they just go together. They are better together. You and I, we are good by ourselves, but together we are better. So the subtitle of today's lesson is titled this: Look Who's Coming to Dinner. Levi meets Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ tells Levi to follow him. And somehow, we don't know how, we don't know what transpired, we don't know what took place, but here Levi is sitting at his tax collector's booth collecting taxes from people. Jesus goes out by the lake, a whole crowd follows him. He begins teaching them, and as he's teaching them, he's walking along, and he sees this guy named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth collecting taxes. Jesus says to Levi, he said, "Levi, follow me." Levi gets up from his table and he follows Jesus. And somehow, through a chain of events, Jesus ends up at Levi's house having dinner. All right. So look who's coming to dinner. Jesus is coming to dinner. I want to start by asking a question. My question to you is, are you sick or are you healthy? That's the question I want you to focus on today. I want you to grab hold of that question, and I want you to make it personal with yourself. Are you sick or are you healthy? In this story, we hear a common theme over and over again. And just, was it 13, verse 13 through 17, small set of scriptures, a small incident that happened with Jesus and Levi and the disciples and the Pharisees at Levi's home when Jesus is sharing in the four F's. All right. He's participating in what's called true community. And so something in this, there's a common theme that is taking place. There's a common theme that is happening. And that is, this thing is mentioned actually four times in this short story right here. And that is the theme, follow. Everybody say follow. If you don't unmute, just say, wave your hand and just say follow. Let me see what you see that you hear me. The common theme in here is follow. The crowd, they followed Jesus when he went out and was walking by the lake. He told Levi, when he saw Levi sitting at the tax collector's table, he told Levi, he said, "Follow me." Levi, when he heard Jesus, he got up and he did what? He followed Jesus. And they went on and somehow ended up at Levi's house. And it said that many others followed. At Levi's house was Levi, his tax collector, a lot of his tax collector friends. And it said that there were many others that followed. Okay, I don't know how big Levi's house was, but man, his house had to have been pretty big. Maybe he had a big yard or something. I don't know, but it looked like he had a big old cookout at his house. Okay, a spontaneous cookout. Some of y'all are familiar with spontaneous gatherings and cookouts at your house, right? It wasn't planned. It just happened. And guess what? Sometimes those are the best ones ever. They better than the ones that are planned. Here, they are ending up. They followed him. And everyone that followed ended up at Levi's house. So this is what I want us to do. Let's start off by understanding that Jesus wants us to do what? He wants us to follow him. So whatever you can take away from this story today, whatever you can learn from this story today, I want you to learn. Let's focus on following Jesus' examples as our lesson for today. What is it that Jesus wants us to follow? Okay, if we were Levi sitting down at the table today, you know, I'm sitting down right now, and you guys are probably sitting down somewhere, or maybe you're standing, wherever you're at right now. If Jesus was to approach you just like he approached Levi today, let us have the same type of response. What is it that Jesus wants us to follow today? Let's take that as our lesson for today. All right, here we go. Let's start with our focus. Our focus in this entire series is true community. We're focusing on the opportunity that we have right now to reestablish what true community looks like. We're starting to come back together. We're learning how to live in a time of pandemic. There's so much separation, so much division is going on. Jesus wants us to live in community. And so now we're establishing, we have an opportunity to reestablish what true community looks like. So that's our focus for today. That's our focus for today. Jesus here, he is seen many times participating in the four F's. Multiple times throughout his life, throughout his story, throughout the New Testament, we see multiple times where he's sharing in the four F's: family, friends, fellowship, and food. Here is another situation where he's doing just that. He and his disciples are at Levi's house, and they're having dinner with Levi and a bunch of Levi's friends. All right. So you guys got the picture, right? Jesus and his disciples, they're going across, they're walking by a lake. Jesus is teaching. All these people are following him as he's teaching. He goes by Levi. Levi is sitting at a table doing his job, collecting taxes. Jesus says to Levi, "Levi, come follow me." Levi gets up. He follows Jesus. Somehow they end up at Levi's house. A big old cookout is going on. And so here, Jesus and the disciples, they are at Levi's house during a cookout, sharing in the four F's. And there's a bunch of Levi's friends that are there. While they are there at Levi's house during this big old cookout, this big old time of sharing with family, friends, food, and fellowship, the Pharisees, the teachers of the church, the pastors, the bishops, the priests, and everybody, they are there. They get word of this, and maybe there was a part of the crowd that followed there. But anyway, they are there, and they get word of this, and they go over to the cookout. They see the disciples of Jesus Christ. They see Jesus hanging out and everything, doing what they're doing. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were playing some dominoes. I don't know, you know. Maybe they were playing some spades. They was eating some food, you know, getting some food off the grill and stuff like that. It's a cookout. Y'all know what a cookout looked like, right? Okay, the Pharisees, they go over to the disciples, and they asked the disciples a question. They said, what is Jesus doing? Why is he hanging out with these sinners and these tax collectors? Well, he's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. What is he doing? Here, I want to know. I want to know. This is what I want to know. I want to know what makes these people sinners. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the teachers of the church are confronting the disciples saying, why is Jesus hanging out with these sinners and these tax collectors? What makes these people sinners? What makes them sinners? You know, we all can identify with what society and the church labels as sinners. We all can identify it. We all can live in our neighborhoods, in our communities, our societies. You know, there are certain people that have been labeled as sinners or bad people. You know, even the church, so many people have left the church because they have been labeled as sinners or they've been labeled as bad people. Well, whoever Levi is and whoever all his friends are, the church has labeled them as sinners. Okay. Well, who are sinners? Who are sinners? Okay. Let's just go through the list. All right. What the church and what society calls sinners: people who drink or drunks or get drunk, they sinners. People who smoke, people who get high, people who do drugs, people who cuss, people who gossip, people who are very provocative, people who are sexual, people who are crooked, thieves, dishonest. Okay, I can keep going down the list. Y'all give them a point, right? Y'all know, y'all can make up your own list. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure some of the things that I said in here will be on your list, and you got some other things that you'll put on your list. What the church and what society has deemed and labeled as sinners, all right? Okay, and guess what? Guess who else is sinners? People who hang out with them. People who hang out with those people are also labeled and considered to be sinners. So here, Levi is a sinner and all his friends are sinners and Jesus is hanging out with them. So everybody are sinners. And here the Pharisees are there. They're approaching the disciples talking about, hey, why is Jesus hanging out with these sinners? You know, that's what the church do. If these people were sinners, why in the world is Jesus hanging out with them? You know, that's what the church teaches. Church teachers wanted to know. The teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they wanted to know, why is Jesus hanging out with these people? I'm sure that since Jesus was hanging out with them, that they were labeling him as a sinner too. He must be. He got to be a sinner. He's hanging out with them, right? You know, my grandmother used to tell me all the time, birds of a feather flock together. If they sinners, then baby, you a sinner too. Yeah, that's what she used to tell me. I say, if they were so concerned that Jesus concerned about Jesus and who he was hanging out with, why didn't they go directly to Jesus? If they were so concerned that Jesus, wait a minute, bro, you messing up something, got to be careful here, man. If they were so concerned about Jesus, why didn't they go directly to him? Why did they go to the disciples? I got my theory on that. Okay. Maybe because they went to the disciples and not directly to Jesus, guess what they're doing? Here's my theory. They're now participating in what is called gossip. They have a side conversations over here on the side about Jesus. All right. And they now participating in some gossip. Okay. Maybe there's some manipulation that's going on here. Maybe they ain't talking to Jesus. Maybe they're talking to the disciples because they're trying to manipulate the disciples. Maybe they're trying to get some information on Jesus. Maybe they're trying to get some dirt on Jesus. Okay. Maybe there's some manipulation that's going on here. Maybe they're trying to convince the disciples to see things the way they see things and maybe turn against Jesus. You know, maybe there's some scheming going on here. If there's some scheming going on here, if there's some manipulation going on here, then surely there's something crooked going on here. Okay. And so here's the deal. Jesus, he hears them. He overhears them. Maybe their intentions about Jesus wasn't good at all. If you really care about him, why not just go to him and have a pull him to the side and have a conversation with him about it? Jesus, he wasn't worried about hanging out with sinners, nor was he concerned about being labeled as a sinner. He wasn't concerned about it. He didn't care. He publicly did it. He didn't hide. He didn't try to do it in secret. You know, sometimes we as the church, okay, I'm going to talk. If you're a church folk, I'm talking to you. If you ain't no church folk, then I'm not talking to you. But you know what I'm talking about, okay? Sometimes we as the church, you know what we do? We want to hang out with certain people. We want to, you know, go to somebody's house or invite somebody over our house. We want to hang out with certain people that might be labeled as sinners, as society and the church calls them sinners. We may want to hang out with them, but you know, we may do it sometime, but we'll do it we'll do it in secret, right? We won't tell nobody. You know, we'll kind of slide over there a little bit and then slide out. You know what I mean? We'll do it in secret. If we do it and people find out that we are hanging out with some sinners, then we got to come up with a good reason why we were doing it. Why we were hanging out with them, you know, instead of saying, hey, you know, we chilling, man. We having a great time. We sharing in the four F's. You know, Jesus didn't care. He wasn't concerned. And you know, when he invited himself or when he and Levi, you know, connected, guess what? There was a crowd following him. So everybody saw it. And Jesus said to Levi, follow me. Come on, Levi, let's go. And somehow they ended up at Levi's house kicking it. There's a whole crowd following him. He wasn't trying to hide. He wasn't trying to be in secret. But, you know, that's what we do. We'll hide and we'll be in secret with him. He did it all in the open. He did it in the open for all to see. He wanted people to see that he was about true community. He wanted people to understand that he did not care that they were labeled sinners. Maybe he didn't see them as sinners. Maybe he did see them as sinners. But regardless whether they're sinners or not, he's like, look, man, I don't care that they're sinners. He wanted to let people know. He wanted to demonstrate. He wanted people to see what true community was all about. True community is not just about sharing the four F's with your close-knit circle of friends, your close-knit circle of people. It is also about sharing with those who are different from you. So evidently, Levi and his friends were different from Jesus. Clearly, these people were different. All right, clearly they were different from Jesus. They were different from the disciples. That's why it drew such attention to the Pharisees. That's why the Pharisees were so you know, drawn to it. Like, what? They not even, this, they don't fit together. They don't go together. You know, no, they, Jesus and disciples, they shouldn't be doing it. People who are labeled as sinners should be a part of our community. We all can put the list of people together, the list of sins together, people who are sinners. We can put that list together. You know, we can probably relate. There are certain people that we don't hang out with. We won't spend no time with. They might invite us over to their house for a cookout. No, I'm not going over their house because them bunch of heathens over there. I'm not doing that. You know, maybe people look at us like that. You know, we're a bunch of heathens, so they won't come over to our house and hang out with us and you know, come to our cookout. You know, it goes back and forth. Jesus was like, man, scrap all that, bro. Me and Levi, we hanging out. His friends are hanging out. We having a great time. You know, forget about what y'all are thinking. People who are labeled as sinners, they should be a part of our community. We should not separate ourselves from them. We should invite them over to our homes to share in the 4Ls. And whenever we get invited to them, from them, to go over to their homes and share in the 4Ls, we should take them up on their invite. Now, I know that there's situations where, you know, we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. Or somebody would say, as the church folks like to say, you just need to be wise in who you hanging out with. Man, look, I know that there's times that we do have to you know, proceed with caution with certain people. But Jesus is saying, look, they need to be a part of the community too. They need to be a part of this community as well. They are a part of this community. Do not separate yourselves from them. Do not create this place of division from them. You know, we shouldn't hide it. We should do it openly so that all could see. Remember our main scripture, John chapter 13 and verse 35. It says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If what? If you love one another. Jesus was openly showing people that he was a godly man, that he was a man of God. And by doing this, he was letting everybody know and showing them how to love on people who are different. He was loving on people who are different from him. He was showing people what true community was all about. Here's another thing about Levi and his friends. They were tax collectors. What time is it? Okay, I'm finna bring this thing to a close, y'all. Here's another thing. So Levi and his friends, they were tax collectors. You know, several times throughout the New Testament, we see tax collectors as being demonized. They're evil people. They're bad people. You know, sometimes, you know, we can relate to this. There are people who have certain jobs or certain careers or certain, you know, employments. And we look at those people sometimes. We label them. We put them in a place of where we demonize them. You know, the church folk, we'll demonize people. I remember, you know, when I first got back into the church and I'm learning different things and what have you, I remember specifically a time where there was a young lady who worked at a liquor store and she used to sell liquor. And the church had demonized her because she worked at a liquor store and told her that she needed to quit that job. I was like, wait a minute. Is this like, and she was like, I can't do that. I pay my bills. She was just like, I'm not no drunk. I mean, I'm not no wino or nothing like that. I'm not a bad person or nothing like that, but this is my job. And you know, this is how I pay my bills. If I quit this job, then how I'm gonna pay my bills? How I'm gonna take care of my kids? You know, and this and that. And I'm like, are y'all serious? Y'all demonizing this woman because she works at a liquor store? And now y'all trying to encourage her to quit working at the liquor store? Okay, if you want her to quit working at the liquor store, give her a job. Give her a job. Okay? No, they weren't going to do that. There are people in our society that we demonize because of their jobs. Tax collectors, multiple times throughout the New Testament, were demonized because of their employment, because of their jobs. Levi was demonized by the church. His friends were demonized by the churches because they were tax collectors. Jesus, he did not let Levi's employment stop him from hanging out with him. He even hung out with him at his house. Not only did he hang out with him at his house, he hung out with his friends also, who also had a job that was demonized. Not only did he hang out with Levi at his house with his demonized friends because of their jobs, everybody sinners, everybody tax collectors, he ate their food. He ate their food. There are people that we refuse to include in our community circle because of their employment, because they have been labeled as bad people. We need to follow, 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 follow. Remember, I told you, if there's anything that we do, Jesus wants us to learn how to follow his example here. We need to follow Jesus and include them in our community unashamedly. People who are labeled as sin, as sinful, people who are labeled as sinners, people who are labeled that, you know, their employments are demonized jobs and so forth. We need to follow the example of Jesus and include them in our community openly and unashamedly. And by doing so, this will let everyone know that we are his disciples. Jesus, he responded to the Pharisees. I'm bringing it to the closure now. Jesus responded to the Pharisees, telling them this in verse number 17. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." He said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus is identifying with the Pharisees and saying, yeah, these are some sinners. He didn't try to take up for them. He didn't try to say, no, these people ain't sinners. They ain't sinners. No, no, no. You got it wrong. You got it wrong. You got it wrong. They ain't sinners. Man, no, you got it wrong. No, he's like, okay, yeah. Y'all have deemed these people as sinners. Okay, cool. He said, so what? He said, you righteous? Okay, if you righteous, he said, I didn't come for you. I didn't come for you. You don't need me. I mean, you already righteous. So what you need? Why do I need to hang out at your house? You already on your way to the heaven. You already have a good relationship with the Father. You obey the Ten Commandments. You got it together, right? You're on the right road, right? Your name is written down in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, right? So what's the problem? Why do I need to hang out at your house? He said, no, man. I came for the sick. He said, doctor, the sick need a doctor. He said, that's what I came for. The answer to the question that I asked earlier to all of us is, are you sick or are you healthy? The answer is that we're all sick in some areas of our lives, and we all are healthy in some areas of our lives. It is up to us to identify the areas where we're sick and the areas where we're healthy. Levi, he understood that he wasn't all healthy. He understood that there were some areas in his life where he was sick. That's why he followed Jesus when Jesus called him. Not only did he follow Jesus, but he also invited him in. He invited him into his house. Levi, he understood that he needed to follow and that he needed to invite Jesus into his house. Levi knew that he was a sinner. He knew it. He said, yeah, there's some things about me that ain't right. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. He said, but here's the deal. He still made room for Jesus. When Jesus called him and said, follow, he followed. And somehow Jesus ended up in his house. And I'm sure that Jesus didn't just force himself into Levi's house. I'm sure Levi invited him because Jesus, he's a polite person. How many of us need to invite him in? How many of us need to confess and identify like Levi did that we are sinners? How many of us need to admit that we're not all healthy and we're in need of a doctor? We all have areas in our lives where we're sick in. So this is what I want to do today for all of us, not just one of us, two of us, but for all of us. We all have areas in our lives where we're sick. And we all have some areas in our lives where we're healthy. And it's up to us to identify those areas where we're sick. And Jesus made it very clear. He said, I came for the sick. He said, I came for those who need me. I'm come to call the sinner. And guess what? We're all sinners. We all have stuff in our lives. We all, and there's areas in each one of our lives where we have been labeled by society. We have been labeled by the church as being a sinner. And maybe some of those things have labeled us unfairly. Maybe we have been labeled, you know, wrongly, falsely. But maybe we've been labeled right on some of those things. Maybe some of those things. Yeah. That I am. I am that. Yep, I am. We all have areas in our lives. And so this is what I want to do. I want to say a prayer This is the first Sunday of the year. And I think it's a, it's, you know, anytime we reach a certain place or a milestone, a certain, you know, places of beginnings, you know, it's a good opportunity to start off right. You know, a couple months ago, I did a series and, you know, I talked about how, you know, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish that's most important. And I want people to know that as true as that statement is, and I truly believe it is, because it's actually scripture. That's a scripture in the Bible. It's more important how you finish than it is how you start. That does not negate your start. It does not dismiss your start. And so here we have an opportunity to start in a good place. And that good place is starting with a clean slate, starting knowing and identifying, admitting that we need forgiveness of our sins, knowing that there are some areas in our lives that we are sick in and we're not healthy in, and asking Jesus, the doctor, to heal us of those areas, to forgive us of our sins. Starting is good. Finishing is more important. So after this day, it's up to us to decide on how we want to finish. So let's start by saying a prayer. I'm going to ask that you all bow your head, close your eyes, position yourselves for prayer where you're at right now, and let us say a prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for all things, Lord. We thank you for another day, another Sunday, another year that we could be together, Father, here and worship you, Father, to get into your word, for you to teach us and give us some instruction, give us some direction. Father, we understand that we're not all healthy. We understand that we all have some areas in our lives where we're not healthy, but there's areas in our lives where we're sick, Father, and we need a doctor. We realize that there are some areas in our lives where we are, quote unquote, labeled as a sinner, not just by society, not just by the church, but Father, even by your word, which is true. So today, Father, we admit and we identify those areas in our lives where we're sick. We ask you, Jesus, for your healing. We invite you in, Father, just like Levi invited you in. We follow you, Father, just like Levi followed you, just like the crowds followed you. We are following you today. And Father, we are inviting you in. We're inviting you in to forgive us of our sins. So right now, all of those that can hear my voice right now, I want you to say your own prayer of forgiveness. Ask Jesus right now to forgive you of the sins that are in your lives. Jesus, right now, I ask for forgiveness for the sins that are in my life. I know that there are some things that are not right by you. I know that there are some things that I'm sick in, and I ask that you forgive me. All of those who can hear my voice, Jesus, I ask that you forgive them also. Forgive all of us of the sins that are in our lives. Help us to be better. Help us to do better. Help us to truly understand what it is to be a part of a true community. Help us to take advantage of this time that we have right now to reestablish what true community is all about, and let us come together and let us love on one another. Because by doing so, the world will know, everyone will know that we are your disciples. And Father, we truly desire to be your disciples, imperfect in all of our ways, but desiring to be like you. So we ask you, cleanse us, forgive us, start us off anew this year, and help us to do better and be better. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.